Hi, I'm Caroline Amos.
And I'm Raymond McAnally.
And we are
fatigued.
Marilyn, I love you so much. I'm so happy that you got a chance to talk to us today and that I got a chance to FaceTime you super late last night.
Thank you for joining me, rather for having me. It's my podcast now. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, no.
Awesome.
Sorry, guys. You're both fired. We'll talk later about...
I love that. I'm so happy. And thank you so much for having me, Marilyn.
You're so welcome. We can't get started with a bit. We'll keep going.
You are a very unique case because you experienced a lot of freaky symptoms in the middle of a pandemic and got a bunch of tests done, and they all came out to be negative. Take us through a little bit of a timeline of what you experienced and how your doctor visits went after that.
Yeah. So, in mid-July, I was at work and I worked at a bakery, and we were experimenting with some new food or something. And for the last couple days, I had noticed that when I was walking, I was running out of breath a little quicker, but I was maybe I just picked up the pace because I'm trying to get past people and social distance. Mm-hmm. And then that day we tried out a recipe and I took a bite of this delicious potato and onion pizza. And I said, "Hey, we can't serve this. It tastes like metal." And everyone was like, "I'm sorry, what did you say?" And I was like, "This tastes like metal." And they were like, "No, it doesn't." And I panicked and they were like, "You have to go home. You have to go get a COVID test and you cannot come back until you have a negative result."
Oh, wow.
And at that time in July, the results were taking 7 to 10 business, Monday through Friday business days to get back to you. Mm-hmm. So in that time, the shortness of breath that I had been experiencing started to get worse. I was having some coughs here and there, but it wasn't really persistent. It was one of those things when it was out of the blue, it was terrible. But the fits were only happening 2-3 times a day. And then I had this really sharp chest pain that was really persistent. And sometimes I felt like there was something sitting on my chest. And
wait,
so after about
hold on
seven,
one second. So you were having coughing fits 2 or 3 times a day?
Yeah. It wasn't a persistent cough. I would have a coughing fit or I would run out of breath and just cough.
How long would they last?
30 seconds to a minute. Wow. Too long, but not long enough for me to think I had the plague. And I think after 5 to 7 days, I still didn't have my test results. I finally made an appointment with my primary care physician, and it was an E appointment. I described everything to her, and she was like, "So, yeah, you probably have COVID." And I was like, "Okay, my boyfriend, whom I'm living with, doesn't have any symptoms. Are we sure?" And she was like, "Well, you're both very young. You're very healthy. I'm surprised you have as many symptoms as you do, given how young you are. So he's probably just asymptomatic. Don't even think about that. When did you get your test done?" And I said, "Within 3 days of showing symptoms, I guess, if you factor in the shortness of breath a couple days before the metal taste." Mm-hmm. And she said, "Okay, when you get your test back, there is a 60% chance that you will get a false negative. If you get a negative test, ignore your result because these tests are wildly inaccurate within the first 5 days of symptoms being exhibited. Treat your symptoms like you have COVID because I think you do." And she gave me the prescription. She told me which vitamins to take, the zinc, the vitamin C, D, what everyone knows about
Before
now.
Before we move on, though, hold on. So she said at the time her experience was a 60% false negative rate.
Yeah. If you take the test within 5 days of being exposed or your symptoms coming on, then you had about a 60% rate.
Got it. And then
in case
anybody's following along and this pertains at all, you're in New York, right?
I am. Mm-hmm.
So that's a doctor's experience in New York. That's really interesting. We hadn't heard those kind of numbers.
Yeah, that's a staggering number. That's not fun at all.
I know. So I got my test back and it was negative. But of course she had already said, ignore that, you have COVID. So I was like, okay, great. Mm-hmm. And then a couple months later in September, so I had I guess I'm skipping along, but by early August, I was fine. I had quarantined for an extra several days once my symptoms had mostly passed. I was still
Was that about a month or?
Yeah, it was about 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks.
All right.
I was still getting shortness of breath when I was speaking or walking up and down stairs, but it wasn't anything like before. The chest pain and the weight on the chest had gone. So I was like, great, we're all set. And then September, I got this second bout where I was getting the chest pain again. I was running out of breath while I was talking. I was getting really bad weight on my chest. And I emailed my doctor and I said, hi, this is happening. And she said, you're probably a long hauler. If you want to go get a second COVID test and an antibody test, I would recommend that. And I said, great. And I got those. And then both of those results also came out negative. I had no antibodies.
It was saying it wasn't in your system. Would you compare the first bout, the shortness of breath issues with the second bout? Were they the same or elevated?
They were pretty much the same, I would say, with the shortness of breath. I was more active because I was back at work while I was having the second bout, because she was like, I would recommend taking it easy, but technically you are not contagious and you don't have to quarantine because you've already...
Right.
You've already
it sounds like, so when this happened in September, you were like, I know what this is. This feels just like what happened before. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, in Maryland, remember that one time you came up? I live on the fifth floor of a walk-up, and I remember you came to use my bathroom because we were in my neighborhood walking around one day. And I get out of breath going up 5 flights of stairs, but I'm pretty sure we hit flight number 2 and you were winded. And
yeah,
I've never seen that from you.
Yeah, we were chatting, and I think I was like, hey, I cannot talk to you anymore, but you can talk to me. And once we get back up to your apartment, I can start talking again.
Yeah. That was first time I love you, and I was always worried about you, but seeing it in action was very concerning as your friend.
And when was that? Was that during September or?
That was August. So it was right after I had mostly recovered, but I was still getting my breath back. So yeah, I've never tested positive for anything or any antibodies. I've had people tell me it sounds really similar to a very extended anxiety attack, if it was something like that. But I still have my primary care physician saying, no, you had COVID, or this is what these symptoms all sound like. Particularly the loss of taste was what really freaked me out with it, but I never lost my smell. So it was all of these random different symptoms that then had a return in September. And I went and I think they ended up giving me an EKG, a chest x-ray, an antibody and a COVID test. And they did a couple other blood work things for iron levels and something else. And they were like, there's nothing physically wrong with you at CityMD. They
That's
were like,
so frustrating.
These are all negative. We don't know what's going on. I guess come back if it gets worse.
Well, Marilyn, you were probably faking it, to be honest. So
I tell myself that every day.
Yeah, I mean, but it's the truth. When there's inconclusive evidence, it's so easy to just turn on yourself and be like, am I faking everything? Is this even real?
Psychosomatic.
Yeah. Hang on, though. I thought of a joke and I just want to say it. Do you remember when you lost your taste in September? And that's all the joke that I have.
Really committing to it, though.
I really just wanted to do it. I just wanted to say it out loud.
Well, you did it. You did it.
Yeah, that's
it
probably
happened.
What that was. I'm gonna. It was.
But sorry, so Marilyn, you said that the lung issues, the breathing issues, returned in September. Did you also lose taste and smell at this in September as well?
I didn't lose smell or taste. So the interesting thing about the metal taste is that just comes and goes. Like everyone,
to this day,
like last week I was eating something and I like looked at my boyfriend and I was like, this tastes like metal again. And he was like, you should probably get that checked out. And I was like, I guess, but at this point.
And it's not because you're actually a secret underground boxer and you're always have a nosebleed and you're always swallowing blood or something. Like what in the world?
No, I need to like hide my knuckles now.
Is there, I mean, have you found a pattern to it at all?
I was telling Caroline, it is mostly like onion based dishes. Like the potato and onion pizza from before, or like a stir fry or something with onion in it. I've looked up a bunch of stuff and people are like iron deficiency. And I would be like, yeah, probably, except TMI. Like, it's not like this is just happening around my period when I'm most iron deficient. So that doesn't quite make sense. Or some people say it's like a blood sugar issue, but I've never had any, I mean, I could count on one hand the amount of times I've been to a doctor, you know, in the last adult years of my life, but I've never had anyone mention anything about blood sugar levels or that being a sort of issue for me.
But what's so fascinating is that onions are a huge trigger in parosmia. They're all over the message.
It's not every onion that like I've ever eaten. It's not like every time I eat onions. Could you imagine? Onions are in so many things. That would be miserable.
Wait, so even right now, it's not every time you eat onions this happens?
No.
I'm not every onion.
Now you're just mining for your album.
Inspiration is striking me, you
like,
guys.
It's like we're in the studio. We're trying to find the next track.
I'm the mute, and I'm in your mixing, and Caroline is just down there.
I'm in my sweaty, sweaty closet that is just very, very dark. But what onions are good for you? Like, what? I want to keep this in mind because I know you're coming over for dinner this Saturday night, and I want to be conscious of that. What onions can you eat?
I don't know. It's like it's not a consistent thing. It's not every time I eat onions, but I've noticed like that's the only pattern I can think of when it hits. I'm like, oh, or like Thai food. Like, I guess that's a really soy based thing. I'll have like a pad see you. I don't know. I wish I had more, like, I wish I was more investigative with it and, like, kept a log like Caroline has.
Good thing you're talking to us because we love to investigate this stuff and we're very fascinated by it. So
it is fascinating to, because I, when Caroline first told me about what you were experiencing, I expected there to be, you know, some sort of, so many people in the last year never got a confirming test saying that they had COVID, but they had all these reasons to believe, but you actually have more confirmation that you never had it than that you could have possibly. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And
because I know when I got my antibody test, I just did it too soon. I probably do have the antibodies now, but I miracled into a free test when I was about 11 days out from testing negative. And so I just did it too soon. And at the time I didn't know that I should have waited 30 days. And I have not gotten, had a reason to get retested just yet, but I would like to. But that's amazing to me that here you've exhibited symptoms twice, two major symptoms that very much would tell any doctor like your doctor that you had it. And here you keep testing negative.
Yeah, it's part of why in my head I'm like, maybe I made it all up. And the like, I might have had one or two symptoms that were very similar to COVID, but also very similar to like severe anxiety or something like that. And just in the midst of New York in July, when COVID was still such, I mean, it's still such a question mark, but especially in the earlier part of last year.
Yeah.
If I just kind of spiraled into that possibility and then my body just started leaning into these things that might have been slight inconveniences or like minor symptoms of something bigger and just like amplified them, or if I just focused on them so much because I was so scared that it was COVID. And it was actually at the same time Caroline had COVID. Caroline was quarantining in South Carolina, North Carolina?
North Carolina, but they're very easy to confuse. They look the same.
They look
I drove through both.
But they like sent me flowers from North Carolina because they were like, I feel really bad that you have to quarantine right now and I have to quarantine too and I know it sucks.
Oh, right. I sent you sunflowers.
You did. It was really sweet.
Yeah. Well,
you were like
much.
In the thick of this terrible bout of COVID, like the worst that I've heard somebody our age having. I'm sure.
Some people have fever dreams. Caroline sends fever flowers. To go back, because right now all we can deal with is the fact that you don't know why your body's responding to something. Your body's fighting off something. It has two really weird symptoms that if we weren't going through COVID, you actually might be going to get more batteries of tests to find out what's going on with you. People are almost saying, well, it's got to be COVID. So, you know, you'll get over it. You're not, because you haven't even been prescribed any medications or anything.
No. After I did all of my tests at CityMD back in September, they were basically like, well, nothing physically is wrong with you, so come back to us if it gets worse. So I never got any prescription or diagnosis outside of the one physician that was like, yeah, it must be COVID, with the chest pain and the pressure and the breath and the metallic taste. I don't know what else it could be. And I was working with the public at that point. I was like doing counterwork and taking the subway every day. And I had just had this nightmare car filled with like tourists and like people singing and everything without masks. And so my doctor was like, that's probably where you got it. It makes sense. Mm. Yeah, the fact that if it's not COVID, people don't know what else to tell me is kind of crazy.
Disheartening, for sure.
Yeah. And I can relate to that, at least to some degree. When I was 20, I had two discs to rupture. And I ended up having surgery, but for over a month, everybody kept saying, oh, you just have a slight herniation, because I wasn't showing enough pain, even though I was in an extreme amount of it. And it was... psychologically, it was incredibly hard to like my trust in the medical community just tanked, because I was in so much pain and everybody was telling me that I didn't know what I was talking about with my own body. And it wasn't until I found the right specialist and he, I don't know, had the forethought to do an MRI out of like the first doctor in five. That we found out what the problem was. And then I felt such a relief, such validity that this was real and that it wasn't in my head or it wasn't something I was blowing out of proportion. And I hope you can get that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, like for example, you were saying a minute ago that you, that this could all be in your head. But is that something you really think is true?
I really don't know. I do. Part of me does think that it was, like an extended, an extended physical, like emotional breakdown. But also part of that sounds so archaic and so like, you know, it feels so weirdly gendered of like a woman like goes into
hysteria
or like has like a nervous breakdown for 2 weeks. Like it sounds so dated that it doesn't seem like something that could still happen in modern medicine. So I don't,
it also doesn't sound like you had any history of anything like that. Like have you ever had a panic attack before?
I've had a panic attack. I've had depression, but I've never had like a panic attack that lasts for days at a time. Right. And it's not usually it's either much more subtle or much more overt. Mm-hmm. And
well, that's probably also to your validity, I guess. I don't know if that's not the right word, but you do know what a panic attack feels like for you. And exactly. This was not that.
So that's it. So I can only half believe that that could be the case because it's the only other thing that can match all of the symptoms that I had that line up. Right. Like each individual symptom seems like it has several other causes, but all of it grouped together could either be like COVID or an extended anxiety attack. And I've never experienced anything like that in an anxiety attack, especially not over 2 weeks at a time and then later for another week and a half at a time. But with COVID, I have no antibodies, no positive tests to speak of. I just have one doctor who said, I don't know, this lines up. Let me know if it gets worse.
Uh-huh. Well, it's important to remember that Nick Cordero had only negative tests, and he was one of the first Broadway greats to die from it. That's, you know, not to worry you or anything like that, but it's really, really, it's more common than you'd think. I'm really interested in the fact that when we started the podcast, I on our Instagram and in my texts and DMs and everything, I had a lot of people reach out that were like, I had a COVID scare once. Do you want to talk about it? And at the time, I was sort of like, you had a COVID scare. Big deal. I had it. I want to talk to more people that had it. I was judgmental. And the more people I do talk to who have had scares, who have psychologically been through the ringer throughout this, the more I'm realizing, oh, man, who am I to judge anybody's personal experience in this pandemic? Hmm. If the potential for having COVID is enough to make you break down, if it's enough to put you in a state of anxiety for many days, then why the hell not cover these stories? And I'm really grateful that we're talking to you about this because it's a really great example of like doubting your own mind, doubting your own feelings, doubting the medical staff. There's a lot of doubt and uncertainty in this world right now.
Oh yeah. And if the project mm-hmm. we're doing here has really long-term legs, I think the psychological impact of this pandemic and COVID, whether you had it or you were just scared of getting it, will be one of the most long-lasting symptoms.
Yeah.
That's the shared trauma that everyone is going to have to develop from or recover from. I mean, everyone at this point, I think, knows somebody who had a case of it. But in terms of the actual worry and group psychology that goes behind being worried about it, questioning any time you might have a cold or a flu or just have a panic attack, thinking that could be a symptom. It's such a unique frame, like doomsday frame of mind that everyone has been in for almost a year now.
Well, it's also important to note today is February 22nd. And as of today, we've officially lost 500,000 people to COVID in the United States alone. Mm-hmm. And that's just documented cases. And the real number is probably far higher than that. But It's a grim day for sure. Yeah. In my birthday week too.
Fuck. Sorry.
You're just proof that good things can happen around this time too.
There you go.
Stop. That actually made my whole day. Thanks, man.
Yeah, it's we just had a friend over. We've got a nice outdoor patio space, so we can, you know, see people every now and then from a distance safely. And our friend brought over her baby, who is adorable and was born. I want to say she's coming up on a year. I think she was born like a week into lockdown or the pandemic.
Whoa.
So, oh my goodness.
And we were commenting on like, she is so used to meeting adults with masks on. Mm-hmm. Another friend pointed out recently that they finally got to see their child play with other kids, like a little baby play with other kids, and that had never happened before.
Oh my God.
My child is 7 or 8 months old.
My nephew was born, not this last November, but the November before. And my sister was just finishing her maternity leave in late February, early March. And I think she was back at work for about a week or two. And then she was a bartender, and then bars shut down in Houston. Huh. And she got sent home, and for months, her son was just like, this is great. I am with my mom and my dad all the time, every day. Like, but they were also, both of them were so stressed because they were like, Remy only knows our house, our living room, our backyard. And they had moved back to Houston from the Bay Area so they could raise their baby with their family all around. And Ed, like, my mom still only sees him once every several months. And Remy is just like, he's going to have the worst separation anxiety. They put him into daycare finally because they were like, we just need to socialize this like nearly a year old child.
Yeah.
And it was so much harder because he had only known like his living room and his mom for the first like 8 months of his life, which isn't abnormal. There are plenty of stay-at-home moms who are able to provide that for their kids, but usually there are so much more activities and enrichment that go along with it.
Yeah, we're all going to have to reassimilate, relearn how to socialize again to some degree.
Oh, yeah. It should be noted that Marilyn's nephew is one of the most beautiful, hilarious, amazing kids ever.
Oh, he's so charming. But I haven't seen him since he was a month old. I haven't seen my family in a year and 2 months. And now we have this, like, with Remy growing, we have this very physical, visual passage of time.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because I had only ever, I usually see my family twice a year if it's, like, a really good year. But, like, it's been over a year now, and I can see how much time has passed and how much change has happened. Like, take away the catastrophic event. And I'm just missing this kid hit all of these different milestones. And it's...
Yeah.
Weird.
It's also really
hard. I hope
you
get back to that.
Well, also because your family just went through the whole snow and ice storm in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Not even like a week ago. And yeah, dude, I really hope you get a chance to see your family as soon as possible because I know how much you miss them.
How are you dealing with this unknown in your life every day? What do you do to try to not think about it? What do you do to address it? I don't know.
Well, I've been really lucky and haven't, other than the random metallic taste, I haven't had as many symptoms since that really bad bout in September. It was like it needed to just kick me one more time before I could finally recover.
Kick me, baby, one more time.
Caroline, I swear to God.
I'm so sorry. Please continue.
I'm definitely more, I'm more aware of my breath in relationship to my body, which at some point in time, I acted in college and went through all of those classes. And so there were times when I was really aware of it, but I hadn't acted in a couple years or taken a class. And so suddenly I was very, I was tracking very much how my breath was reacting to physical activity because I never got that official diagnosis. When I do start to lose breath, I'm like, wait, is this reassuring? Do I actually know, like, am I still recovering from this thing, or am I just talking very loud and very fast and not allowing myself to take in the breath that I need? So I guess it's mostly being hyper aware of that. The metallic taste, I just give it a Google whenever it happens again. I'm like, maybe there'll be like a new article, or I'll click on something I forgot to click on last time, and that will make the most sense. And
has any parosmia literature helped you at all? Have you seen anything that seemed familiar or helpful?
Not really, especially because it's mostly dominated, I feel like, right now with the total lack of taste or like dullness of taste that goes around most, I say most, it's such a wide spectrum. But the what the idea people have of when people lose their taste or smell with COVID. The fact mm-hmm. that I didn't lose my smell, and the fact that my taste, I could still taste, but it was this acrid metal instead of nothing or dull, or a different profile. It's hard for me to find a lot of literature that relates to that.
We love to end with my favorite question, because sometimes it's really nice to end on a positive note. But what gives you hope right now, and what's bringing you some joy?
Well, while it's sad to see time pass with Remy, like our pick of the day or video of the day is really great, because even if he has grown up recognizing adults with masks and everything and not getting as many kids, he's happy. This is his world. It's kind of sad that he doesn't know any other world, but also like he doesn't know that there's like a collective trauma happening, and he right. still goes outside and touches snow for the first time and then cries into the camera because it's too cold. And he's still discovering really beautiful and terrible things. And my dog is a really a ray of sunshine, and I've been training her and just seeing like, and she's a rescue. So seeing her become more comfortable with us and with others, and also just learning, always feels really cool, and makes me feel responsible. And it's going to sound like I'm sucking up to the host, but Caroline has been in my little bubble for a long time. And so any time we get to see Caroline is really special and feels like a safe link to the outside world.
Same to you. You guys have brought me so much sanity and joy in such a dark time. And I love you so much.
Oh,
you're gonna make
you.
Me cry.
Ha. I want to get, she's been singing so much. I got to get her to cry on the pod.
You jerk. Hey, this is Caroline.
And Raymond.
Thank you so much for listening to Fatigued.
From patients to paramedics, long haulers to lessons learned. Sure, it's the same virus, but these are very different stories.
If you have a question or a story you'd like us to address on an episode, please email us at fatiguedpodcast@gmail.com. That's fatigued podcast@gmail.com.
And don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Clubhouse.
Right? Clubhouse, what is that?
I don't even know, but whatever it is, we're here to offer genuine conversation so we can humanize the issues surrounding COVID and the pandemic. These stories deserve the space to be remembered, and we relish the opportunity for connection in this isolated time.
Perhaps you will too.
Stay positive.
Test negative.
And thanks for listening.
Bye.